Another innovation in terms of, at least at this point, ER-positive patients, node negative specifically, has been the Oncotype DX assay. Can you review sort of what your take is on that and what do you think it means clinically?
Yeah, we're very excited about the possibilities of a truly genomic approach to the disease. And where we use the Oncotype DX are in the borderline cases where a low recurrence score would really preclude you from giving cytotoxic chemotherapy. And we've been very enthusiastic in that application. In the patient who either has a larger tumor or a higher grade tumor, or there are other mitigating factors, we're certainly not using the Oncotype DX as a sole factor in precluding people from cytotoxic chemo. But boy, in those borderline cases, it's been enormously helpful.
Is there any patient in your practice that you could present where, you know, the Oncotype really was helpful?
A wife of a Nobel laureate, educated, proactive woman with a 9mm ER-positive, node-negative breast cancer.
HER2-negative, I assume.
HER2-negative. No worrisome features in the tumor, no LVI. She's on that 1 centimeter cusp, where if the pathologist had said 1.1 centimeter, it's likely at Memorial she would have bought chemo. We send off the specimen to Genomic Health, and it comes back with a very, very low recurrence score. She steps away from chemotherapy with a clear conscience. She goes on an aromatase inhibitor and is spared 4 months of, at our place, what would be dose-dense Adriamycin and Taxane.
How's she doing on the AI?
Great. No problems whatsoever.
Any case that you could pick out where it led to the patient getting chemotherapy?
Similar patient, similar clinical presentation, except a higher grade invasive cancer. Again, right on the 1 centimeter cusp. A question of lymphovascular invasion, although the pathologist wasn't willing to call that. Negative nodes both on H&E and IHC, HER2 negative, where the recurrence score came back astronomically high, and the patient went into the chemotherapy with a clear conscience that she was doing the right thing.
How old was that woman?
57.
And what were her thoughts about chemotherapy?
Well, it's very often the case. She had seen a neighbor of hers go through a terrible bout with chemo, with 2 hospitalizations for neutropenic sepsis. Really a battle, a true battle. And so she had a kind of horrific view of chemotherapy in her mind and was really looking for a way to avoid it, which we weren't able to do.
I guess the thing that's really reassuring about that is not only do we know that a high score connotes a high risk or higher risk, but the fascinating thing about it was that those patients experienced so much benefit from chemotherapy, and, you know, in this case it was CMF or M2F, the older kind of chemotherapy, but yet you're looking at a 75% reduction in relapse, right?
Right. And what's stunning about these two cases, if you put them side by side and you run the adjuvant online Peter Rabdin software, they both came up with exactly the same 4% benefit from chemotherapy. And yet when you get the Genomic Health information, they couldn't have been farther apart.
I guess the other thing that people have talked about is the cost. I believe at this point Medicare is paying for it. And I think a lot of that is tied into the fact that it looks like it's cost effective. And I think your two cases sort of point that out.
I also think that if we nationalize our thoughts a little bit about the finances of this, and we actually did eliminate chemotherapy in a third of small node negative breast cancers, and the estimates could be higher than a third, then this would look like the best money ever spent on a medical test.
Well, the other side, I know Gary Lyman has done a financial cost analysis of this, but he didn't bring in the fact that you're decreasing the costs by decreasing recurrence rates in people who otherwise might not have gotten chemotherapy. Your lady with a subcentimeter tumor very well might not have gotten chemotherapy, relapsed, and, you know, of course, the expense there, not that right. It's the most important thing, but it's very, very high, and you've eliminated 3/4 of that.
This is the tip of a slow-moving but a moving iceberg. I think that beginning to evaluate this technology in the low node count, node-positive subset is going to be useful, larger patient tumors. A study that we're very close to completing is a single nucleotide polymorphism chip profiling SNP chip profiling in Ashkenazi Jewish women with remarkable family histories for breast and ovarian cancer who are BRCA1 and 2 negative. And so we've actually SNP chip profiled 300 Ashkenazi Jewish women with no history versus those with this remarkable history who are BRCA negative. And we are very optimistic, not that we'll find BRCA3, I happen to not believe BRCA3 is out there, but that there will be a similar type of panel of polymorphisms that will predispose to breast cancer. Remember that it's unlikely that all American women are actually at a 10% risk for developing breast cancer. It's far more likely that 30% of American women are at 30% risk. So if we can start subsetting not only the patients who are going to get breast cancer, but then subsetting those who get breast cancer, our therapies are going to be more directed and more specific and much smarter. And we'll look back at the day when every woman with a 1 centimeter node negative breast cancer got CMF or ACT, and we'll roll our eyes. We'll be very critical of ourselves.
What kind of chemotherapy did your second patient receive?
The Memorial standard is dose dense AC followed by T.
That's what you got?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Aggressive.